And welcome to another installment of the Uninformed Gamers Podcast. I am one of your hosts. You know me. You love me. I am Darkness Tiger. Also joined today, I have my brother from another mother. You see, Chris, that's how you do that. Mason, also known as Rad Dreams Review. What's going on, brother man?
Hey, how's it going? It's always good to be here. And might I say, impeccable job on that opening.
See, this was... Don't laugh before the podcast starts.
I know, right? I do appreciate the last week's episode, though, and with the opening.
You know, I appreciated how, like, we're kind of, like, real. It's not obviously the most edited podcast in the world.
No.
Pretty authentic.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that. So what have you been up to?
Well, before we get in that, obviously Chris isn't here. He's tied up. We'll see him next week. But I actually went to the movies last week.
Yes, you saw Fast 10, correct?
I did, and I have to say, Mason, I don't know what it is. But after 10 movies, you really run out of ideas.
Oh, really? It was like that?
And it's weird, because I'm a big fan of the Fast and Furious series. I've been watching the creation. I've seen every single series multiple times. And so when Fast 10 was announced, I'm like, well... I haven't watched a whole lot of trailers. I really don't know what this one's about. I'm going to go in blind and maybe I'll enjoy it more. Boy, was this movie a load of dog shit.
Was it really? Like, not even, what's his face? Aquaman could save it.
Jason Momoa.
Yeah, Jason Momoa. He couldn't save it.
I don't generally recognize Jason Momoa as a bad guy.
No. Not for me. The only thing that I saw him in where he was a quote-unquote bad guy, but he was more so like a vigilante kind of, where I forget what the movie was called, but he was like seeking revenge for like his dead daughter or something like that.
Well, that's not really a bad guy, but to have him be like straight up the villain, it was weird because obviously Khal Drogo, plus he was also in, I think, a comedy movie. So... having him being the bad guy when you've had very good bad guys with Charlize Theron, Statham, Luke Evans, that wasn't the big problem with the movie.
What was the biggest problem?
The biggest problem was they didn't have a whole lot to really left to do. They were rehashing certain plot lines.
Oh, really?
Jason
okay.
Momoa's character was the son from the bad guy in the fifth movie.
Oh, wow. That's a bit of a callback.
After I was through watching it, I spoke with my father, and I'm just like, you can't watch this movie unless you've seen every other Fast and Furious movie, because there's so many callbacks, so many cutscenes to movies.
Mm-hmm.
No, half the movie felt like I was watching a cutscene from a previous movie.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yes, and they brought people back from, and this isn't a spoiler, I'm not going to tell you who they brought back, but they brought back some people from the dead, which I thought, that's not how.
Well, didn't they bring back the one dude from, like, Tokyo Drift?
Yeah, they brought back Han, but they brought him back a few movies ago. And they kind of wrote him. They wrote him off and they wrote him back in, which I thought was brilliant. This one, they just wrote in a character and were just like, all right, deal with it.
Yeah.
Overall, I really think the Fast and Furious movie, and no pun intended, has run out of gas.
Yeah, I mean, after 10 movies, I mean, what do you expect?
Well, the messed up thing is, this movie ended on a cliffhanger.
So there's going to be another one.
Is. There's supposed to be at least 3 more movies.
Oh my god. So they're making the final, like, Fast and Furious movies kind of like a trilogy?
It's a trilogy. I don't know what you call 13 movies in a series, but...
Yeah. I don't know. Franchise.
You can call it bad. That's what you can call
it. Yeah.
But the final 3 are going to be a trilogy. And then Vin Diesel announced during an interview... that he would like to do an all-female spinoff movie, similar to Hobbs and Shaw with Jason Statham and The Rock. So, I'm excited for that project with Jordan Rodriguez and whoever's still left alive in the movie after this.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think it's time for the series to finally end. We've had our run.
Yeah.
It's been enough.
And I think it does deserve to drive off into the sunset.
Unintended. But besides that, I actually booted up my PlayStation 5 finally.
Ooh.
And it was after a moment, I was kind of tired. It was a lull moment. I was just like, you know what? I don't feel like watching a movie. I don't feel like playing my Xbox. Let me turn on my PS5. And everyone knows I have not turned on the PS5 in literal months. And
I know it's been a while.
And Mason, what is the worst thing that can happen when you really want to play something right now? But what is the worst thing that could happen?
A big update.
Sure as fuck did. I had a 40-minute update.
And then
the game that I wanted to play, 20-minute update.
So you essentially had to wait like an hour.
Yep. I essentially had to play on my phone for an hour because I was already in the mindset to play my PS5.
See, that's annoying right there.
But once I booted it up, I played because now I waited for an hour. I played for an hour, and it was. I'm gonna play it again sometime this week, maybe once.
What did you play?
Gran Turismo 7. Now that I have that racing wheel, I am a fan. I have not played any other game on my.
And that's fair, and that's okay. But, did you happen to watch the trailer for the Gran Turismo movie yet? What did you think? Did you like it?
No, and I'm a big fan of movies. I absolutely enjoyed Rush. One of my favorite movies is The Art of Racing in the Rain. But for some reason, this is a story that I don't know would have been great for TV, or would have been great as a movie, maybe a TV series. But just seeing what it's turning into, it just seems kind of disjointed to me.
I can see that. I can.
So I'm not too excited personally. Will I watch it in theaters? I don't know. It would have to be like a necessary moment. But before I ask you what you've been doing, I just have a quick, I guess, I have a complaint about something or a moment.
Okay, what's up?
I am so sick and tired of headlines that are clickbait.
Well, they're not going to go away anytime soon, unfortunately.
I can see that, but the worst offender is a news site called Gaming Bible, and I am calling you out
correctly. I've seen a couple of theirs.
There was one that they had posted, and I scrolled through the news just looking for stories in my normal day-to-day, and there was one, and it said that, the last one I just recently watched, or read, it was just, this Hogwarts on PC Max is breathtaking. And I'm like, okay. And one thing Gaming Bible has a tendency to do, they never embed the video in the article.
No, because all they want is that traffic.
They want the traffic, and then they say, oh, here's the link to the video. No, include it. I don't want to go other places. So I'm watching this video about this Hogwarts, and it looks exactly like the one I play on my PS5. And I'm like, this is not breathtaking. And then one before that, the one that I complained about, I even posted on the Twitter, if you follow us, at Uninformed Gamers. Oh, this Xbox player for 20 years switches to the PS2, and he's absolutely stunned by the exclusives. And I'm like, I have a PS5 and an Xbox, and I am not stunned by the exclusives.
No.
In fact, I don't even play most of them, because let's be honest here, most of them, believe it or not, are fairly mid, and I'm not talking about the God of War Ragnarok. Or the Spider-Man.
Yeah, we're not talking like AAA.
Yeah, we're not talking AAA. We're just talking about his general exclusives. And like even that, I've not played Spider-Man. I have zero desire to play Spider-Man.
It's good.
I'm sure it is. It looks good. I have zero desire to play Returnal. I watched somebody play Returnal. I have zero desire to play Death Stranding. Watch somebody play it.
Walking simulator.
Some of these games seem better as movies and TV series than they do as video games. They don't seem like fun games to play.
And that's a complaint about some Sony games. Especially, that's one I've heard a lot about Metal Gear Solid, unfortunately. It is a phenomenal franchise. I'm a personal, like, huge fan of it. And it's one of the biggest reasons why I purchased a PlayStation 4, actually, to play Guns of the Patriots. Because I absolutely wanted to play that game, because I'm such a big, big fan. But, caveat, you know, MGS has a lot of cinematics. Yep. So a lot of times, you know, you're watching, you know, what you play. But the cinematics are very, you know, compelling.
No, I will say the Metal Gear Solid series, whenever they have their like, cutscenes, they are beautiful. Like, they are...
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want to sit and watch a cutscene for 3 hours.
No, and I can understand, like, where you're coming from. Like, same could be said about, like, Final Fantasy as well. because there's a lot of cutscenes in those games. But for the most part, I would argue with Final Fantasy, it's like 80% gameplay, 20% like cinematic. I can see that. But like with MGS, for instance, it's a much more even split. I would say like a 60-40.
And before we get into what you want, I want to have one final comment. I appreciate how Square Enix thinks it has the biggest dick in the room right now.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, so if you follow us, like Devin said on Twitter, we posted something about how Square Enix is just like, oh, we have to be very selective about what we choose to do. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Go.
Like, I'm like, you are a good company. Don't get it twisted. Like, Square Enix is a good company. They are profitable, but they don't have the biggest dick on the market in terms of gaming companies.
No, they do not have a good enough track to be acting the way they do.
Yeah, like their biggest games are like I think Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts.
Yes, and Final Fantasy, not every Final Fantasy game has been good.
No, they haven't not. Yeah, they no, have not.
It's Kingdom Hearts. People have their same Kingdom Hearts series.
Mm-hmm.
Square, when you're, because what the comment Square said is that whenever we're developing a game for a company, we have to ask them, what can they offer us? And I said, well, what are you going to get back for Forspoken? Because that game was trash.
Yeah, I mean, that's a sunk cost.
Or what about
right
the
there.
Avengers that nobody played?
I mean, while that game was great, it wasn't financially successful, unfortunately.
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy wasn't financially successful, but it was still a great game. Mm-hmm. But they decided they're not going to go that route anyway because it wasn't successful.
Mm.
But anyhow, that was my complaint. But Mason, what have you been up to?
No worries. I have a short update, more or less. I started playing Euden Chronicles for the Xbox on Xbox Game Pass. It's a Japanese role-playing game that you might actually like, Devin, because there's not turn-based combat.
Don't say it's turn-based, because I will end this
call. It is not turn-based. It's like open combat. It's a side-scrolling RPG, and it's like flowing. It's like a flowing combat, which is super refreshing. Yeah. The art style is very beautiful. It reminds me of this older video game from back in the day that some millennial listeners might remember by the name of Maple Story.
Maple Story. That mm-hmm. sounds familiar.
It was like the game to play on your computer back in the day. I was a huge Maple Story fanatic, as were a lot of my friends. Look it up whenever you have a chance in your free time. If it sounds familiar and you look at it, you're like, oh, yeah, that's it. But the art style and how it looks and plays is very, very similar, which I very much appreciated. Plus, one of the characters is a kangaroo with a massive broadsword. So,
this is already up my alley. You said it was Mayfield?
Maple Story is the game that I thought it was similar to, but the game itself that I'm playing is called Euden Chronicles. I think that's how you pronounce it.
I do not remember Maple Story at all.
Oh, no, you're okay. It's an older game. It is. Some of our listeners might remember Maple Story. I know it was a big part of my life, and it was a big part of a lot of my like gaming friends' lives. But yeah, it's good trip down memory lane there. And then other than gaming, I had a chance to watch the horror film Megan.
What did you think?
I thought it was serviceable.
It was
that's what I can say. It was very campy at points. There was at least two or three moments that I was just like, wait, what? Like the moments in question were just random singing moments. Like, I'm like, I get what you're trying to do here, but it's not working. Mm-hmm. At least not for me. Like, there was one moment where she was singing like a really trendy song to the child before like bedtime or whatever. And I was just like, this just doesn't fit at all here.
Yeah, but that movie has already been guaranteed a sequel, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. And because it did end off on a bit of a cliffhanger, obviously. But no, I mean, for what it was serviceable. It was decent. It was like a solid, like, 6.5, 7 out of 10 yeah. movie. You know, like, nothing to write home about, nothing that I haven't seen before. Because it was basically like a more advanced version of Chucky.
I can see that. Like a more PG-13 like, version.
Yeah, like that it was like, yeah, like more advanced because you're dealing with an artificial intelligence in the film and, you know, the pitfalls of that. And like the one thing that was tripping me up in the film was the main character's boss. No, she was part of this big tech company. I forget what they're called. But her boss is this, like, popular comedian. And I did not think that he should have been in that role.
You know, because obviously, and this isn't a spoiler alert, obviously, like, a lot of people die. Could the person who created that AI, the person who created Megan, could they be charged with involuntary manslaughter?
I don't think so. I mean, yes, they created, like, Megan, but I don't know if they should be held liable for, like, the malfunction that occurred, but, I mean, we're dealing with a gray area, for sure.
I'm curious, I'll ask my lawyer friend what he would say in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Because it was a prototype as well, so it's not like there was any sort of, terms and conditions that you had to like sign off on. So, I mean, I don't know. It's a good moral question. Like, should the creator of Megan be held liable for the deaths of all those people?
Interesting. That's
that is a good moral quandary.
Maybe we'll ask this question. We'll do some research and let's bring this question up again on next week's episode.
Yeah. Because like, yeah, my gut reaction is to say no, she shouldn't be held culpable. Mm-hmm. Just how, like, let's say, for instance, I know this was a terrible tragedy, but, like, in the case of Alec Baldwin, yeah. right, in that shooting incident, like, he inadvertently killed somebody with a prop yep. gun, but it was the prop person's responsibility to make sure that that gun that he had didn't do what it did. But no, we all saw that unfortunately the gun did do it. So it's just like, should Alec Baldwin be held liable for that?
Well,
and that was the big argument with that case is, you know, should he be held responsible or should he be charged with like involuntary manslaughter, and that's what like that whole case was,
you know,
about.
I just have another thought that popped in my head, but we won't get into that. I'll just say this thought, and the word that comes to mind is negligence.
Yes, it is negligent. 100%.
We'll talk more about this because it seems like a topic we can talk about all day.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely a really interesting like gray area in like the legal realm of things, especially when we talk about artificial intelligence, because we're getting to that point in our society where it's getting so advanced that it's just like, okay, well, where does it end? And where do our responsibilities as humans begin?
That is fair. But let's go ahead and let's get into our very first topic. And yes. This one was a big one.
Yes, this topic today will be the main focus of today's episode. So I hope y'all are looking forward to it because I know we are. And hopefully some of you actually watched what we're going to be talking about.
If you are not a Sony fan, this episode is not for you.
But even if you are a Sony fan, a lot of these games that we're going to be talking about and we'll get into shortly are going to be available for the Xbox and
we'll
PC.
Talk about that. So we'll work.
So, but that's another can of worms.
What we're currently talking about is the Maze PlayStation Showcase. So this
yes.
is where Sony, and I'm going to say this, but I'm going to follow it with something else.
Yes.
The Showcase
okay.
was an event where Sony was going to show a bunch of different games coming to the PS5, not including just games, but also new accessories. Now, When it first started, you were had a reason to believe, and a lot of the articles that were written as the event were starting, you believed that every single one of these games was a PS5 exclusive.
That's all right. So that was my thought process, like going into it, actually, like before anything. Like I was just like, okay, all these are going to be just like for the PS5.
Well, if you look at the Kotaku article, and I think probably even IGN, I don't think they've updated it either. If you look at the very first headline of when the showcase is starting, Kotaku says Sony's big digital event on Wednesday showcased a load of new trailers for upcoming PS5 exclusives. And these games, as Microsoft pointed out, they're exclusives. So,
no, I think it was a little over half of the games are going to be coming out for Xbox or PC.
But if you only watch this showcase and you don't follow Microsoft, you would not have known.
No, because in the showcase they don't say anywhere that this is coming for other things. Other with the exception of like one or two, they do say at the end like PC. Yeah. And PS5, but every single one does not say Xbox at all. Like, you don't see that
exactly.
anywhere.
Exactly, and I'll tell you, that when we get to the game, I'll tell you that that's when I knew that these games weren't exclusive. But let's get into the fair
game. Mm-hmm.
And the first game that was announced was called Fair Games with a Dollar Sign.
Yes.
We just saw a CG trailer, and it seems like this is kind of like a heist game with multiplayer.
Yeah, so like, when I saw this trailer, how it kind of looked to me was like maybe it's a multiplayer online game where you and like your team, yeah, right, face off against another team of players, and you both have to compete to rob from the same place. That's kind of what I got into it.
I mean, I guess this could make sense because there were I believe there were three teams.
Three. Yeah.
I could picture this game working out. You're being dropped on like a map.
Yeah, yeah. It's like almost akin to like a pseudo battle royale in a way.
Pseudo battle royale mixed with a game like Payday or whatever.
Yeah. Oh my. Yeah. That dude. I forgot about Payday.
I never played it, but I know exactly what it is.
My only
drawback about this game was, this game seems like this would be a very difficult game to play if you don't have two other people who are willing to play with you consistently.
Yeah, like you definitely need like friends to play this with, or you know, somebody that you're close with.
Let's move over to the next one, which is called Helldivers 2. I'm going to be honest with you, this game did not call for me.
I thought this trailer was hilarious. Personally,
the trailer was fine, but like the gameplay just looked generic.
No, it didn't speak to me, but the trailer itself made me laugh a little bit because it was marketed as like your atypical, like, hey, join the army sort of thing. And it was very like, I got like America vibes.
American Ford F-150 pickup truck vibes.
And yes, which was funny. And then at the end of the trailer, they're just like, not everybody survives being a Helldiver.
But it was just kind of just like a generic alien shooter to me.
Yeah, yeah. It was nothing that I was personally like super impressed by, but this Helldivers 2 is going to be coming to the PS5 and PC.
Okay. And then at the end of the showcase, we'll talk about all the games that are coming that are multi-platform. Yes. The next is called Immortals of Avum.
Yeah, it's Avum or Avium?
We'll go with Avium. This game looked bad to me. I did not think this game looked good.
See, I felt a little bit differently. I thought it looked interestingly enough. It was a like first-person like wizard-esque combat game.
Yes, but it looked like, it just looked so generic. It looks like we've played this. They took the worst aspects of like Dragon Age, the worst aspects of, I want to say, Two Human, and the worst aspects of all the other generic RPGs, magic, and threw it together. I would not have personally put this in a showcase, quote unquote, first party games. I just don't think this just did not look like I would ever play this.
Yeah, and the fact that it's being done by EA as well doesn't do it any favors.
This game is not going to have any DLC and it's going to be canceled early.
Yeah, so for me personally, it's going to be a pass, mainly because of EA, and it just doesn't look interesting enough for me to actually like play it.
Absolutely. All right, let's go ahead and let's scroll on down. The next game we're talking about is Ghost Runners 2. This looked fun. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I actually, this one did jump out at me. I was just like, oh shit, this looks really fun and interesting. Like it implements a lot of like refreshing concepts. Mm-hmm. It's basically like a motorcycle combat slash like racing slash like I don't even know. It's kind of like its own unique thing.
Yeah, this one we want to see more of. Did you ever play the first Ghost Runners? Because I never did.
I did not. I never even heard of Ghost Runner.
Well, I've never played the first one, but this one seems like one I would definitely hop in and check.
Yeah, I mean, if this one is a multi-platform one, I'll definitely check it out. Honestly. Now,
this next game, Mason, I actually texted the group chat and I said, this game is for you.
Yes. And I agree with that sentiment. I really got...
We're talking about Phantom Blade Zero for everybody.
Yes. Yeah, Phantom Blade Zero. I thought it was really interesting in that this isn't really a spoiler, but the main character has 66 days to live and his mission is to like find his heart. So I'm assuming like he wants to die as a quote unquote like human or die with like his feelings and thoughts and personality like kind of intact. But it really gave off a lot of vibes of like a Dark Souls-esque game, because it felt very similar to like a Sekiro or Ghost of Tsushima, and the game itself looks absolutely gorgeous.
Like, I don't generally, because this, when I was watching the gameplay, all I could think of, like, this was a Bloodborne Dark.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
I personally don't like that combat. I don't like dying. I don't want to do that. But the fighting gameplay looks so exciting that I'd be willing to try this.
Yeah, and the sword play on display is a combination of like wushu, which, you know, it's a type of kung fu, and it's also a combination of just like your standard like samurai combat as well. So I thought that was interesting that they're implementing both like Chinese and Japanese philosophies and kind of melding them into like one thing.
Absolutely, that's one we're all going to be looking out for. Now the next game is called Sword of the Sea. And
this looked really interesting to me.
For the first 15 seconds, I thought this was Journey Part 2.
Well, it's the same people who made Journey. But it
looks exactly like Journey. I was like, oh, yeah. Cool, Journey's getting a sequel. Then they said Sword of the Sea. I'm like, I don't know what this is. It looks good. Don't get me But you're getting a little bit too close to your other IPs now. You're getting too...
Mm-hmm. It does look interesting enough for me to try.
I
for
absolutely
sure.
would. I love those types of games. The next one, Fallout Principle 2. I don't know. I watched this trailer. I don't know what this is about, but
yeah, I don't know either. And to me, it's a pass.
This one kind of piqued my interest. I'm going to keep my eye on this game because again, I don't know what it's about, but it piqued my interest enough for me to put a little bookmark on this one.
Mm-hmm. I'm probably not going to pay it any mind personally because it just didn't really jump out to me too much.
Well, the next game is called Neva. Now, this one jumped out to me, and I'm not sure why.
So, I actually really want to talk about this game because I'll say this. This game, along with another one that was on display, were my two picks as best in show.
Okay, really?
This game, Neva, and then there's another game that we'll talk about here very soon that were my ones to watch out for or best in show. Like, I actually am more excited about this than I am Phantom
really?
Blade. And I'll tell you why. This trailer made me cry.
This guy.
It elicited like such a strong emotional response, and I don't know why. Like there was hardly any dialogue, and it was very emotional for some reason for me, and it gave off like Hayao Miyazaki Princess Mononoke vibes, because of the wolf and the horns. It reminded me of the great forest spirit in that film. And just the juxtaposition of it, you know, fighting for itself and fighting for this, the woman in the trailer. And then at the end, you had the baby wolf thing. And it just, I'm like, why am I crying? This is like, oh my God.
No crying in video games unless somebody deleted your Pokemon save.
Oh gosh. But no, the game itself looks absolutely gorgeous. I really am looking forward to this, and I want to play it like day one.
This would be one I would absolutely play. Well, let me phrase that. This would be one I would download and not play for like 2 years. Because that's my worst trait. But the next game, I think this is cute, but I'm not going to play it. It's called Cat Quest Pirates of the Caribbean.
Let's fucking go! This game looks adorable as fuck. It does look
adorable, but I already have Stray and I don't play that.
Yeah, but like, can we just appreciate the pun here? Cat Quest Pirates of the Caribbean? I mean, come on.
I appreciate it. I love that. I love the creativity. I love the art direction. I love the art style. But this is not like a game I would play.
I'm going to play
Speaking of the next, and this is, sorry, the next game is called Foam Stars. And I texted you guys, that Splatoon is on PlayStation 5.
Yeah. This definitely gives off, as soon as like I saw like the gameplay and everything, I'm like, oh, it's like Splatoon, but with foam. Yeah.
And I'm like, this isn't, when I'm sitting there, I'm like, the art style looks slightly different, but this is, I'm like, what is this? I'm like, is this like a Splatoon 3 already or whatever?
And it's like, no, it's a Splatoon ripoff. It's a
Splatoon ripoff, and that's why I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, so y'all are really just going after the money now. Y'all are going after foam. Y'all are going after Splatoon with Foam Star. I don't.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks fun.
I don't even think Splatoon looks fun, and this definitely does not look fun to me. I'm not playing.
Oh, it looks fun to me because it's got some anime themes involved, and like the gameplay looks fun, but I personally won't play it because, I mean, I didn't really like Splatoon too much.
The next game is called The Plucky Squire.
Alright, so you know how I was talking about, like, Best in Show? This is my pick for my personal favorite of what was done at the show, and this is the one I'm looking forward to the most.
I am so taken aback by that information, Mason. I could have swore that it was going to be Phantom Zero.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and trust me, I'm hype for that game, but this one, The Plucky Squire, took me by surprise because it is such a unique and interesting concept.
So basically,
that's something I've never seen before, and it's so cool. What
the concept is you're basically playing in a book.
Yeah, it's a mixture of like a storybook, and then there's also the 3D world, like the real world. Literally
just hop off the page and go into the book, and I'm like, that looks fun. But outside of Phantom Zero, the next game is my Best in Show, and it's called Teardown. And I'm going to tell you right now,
I'm actually really surprised by that.
When I texted you guys in the group, I said, I don't like Minecraft. I don't even care for Legos, but for some reason, this appeals to my childhood senses.
I got serious Minecraft vibes from Teardown.
I did too. I'm like, oh, it's Minecraft. Then I got Lego, and then they started blowing stuff up, and I'm like, this is my favorite part of playing Legos, getting to destroy the stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That was like one of my favorite parts of like playing The Sims. Growing up, is I would build my city and then I would cause a natural disaster and just tear it all down.
And that's the first signs of a sociopath, ladies and
Oh, come on.
Now, the next game, this one was the one where I texted in all caps.
Yeah, I'm personally extremely hyped about this. We are
talking about Metal Gear Solid 3, the Snake Eater remake. We didn't any Hell gameplay, yeah. But the CGI trailer looked very good, like always.
Oh yeah. I mean, when you're dealing with MGS, you know you're dealing with amazing visuals.
I just need like the MGS team to just make like movies. That's all I need to focus on.
I would 100% watch a Metal Gear Solid movie, and it would do well.
That was high, but we didn't really get an opportunity to see a whole lot. The next game that was announced was Towers of Akashaba.
This game, it looked interesting. I will say that. Like, it had really nice visuals. It introduced concepts of like building a civilization. Mm-hmm. So that seemed cool. It definitely introduced like some really, really interesting concepts.
It looks
for sure.
Like, and again, I hate to say it, it looks like a very childlike or very, I wouldn't even say that. Never mind. I'm going to scrap that thought. But it looks
okay.
It looks fine. I don't know if I would play it because I don't really like survival.
Yeah, I mean, I'm personally not going to play it, but it looked interesting enough for me to be like, huh, that's different.
And then the next one we have, I believe it was the Final Fantasy 16 CGI trailer.
Yep, nothing really to say too much about this one. It's not really doing anything too new. I would say it's expanding on Final Fantasy 15 in its combat and how it looks. This seems to be the direction that Final Fantasy is going towards. Whether or not that's a good thing remains to be seen.
One of my things I will give Square Enix credit for is that when they release a new Final Fantasy, they make it seem like it's the biggest thing ever.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, this was a very epic trailer.
Now, the next game, which is Alan Wake 2, is when I knew these weren't all exclusives. Because I know for a fact Alan Wake 2, which looks amazing. This is a day one purchase for me. Day one.
Yeah, because you were really into the first one.
I recommend the original Alan Wake to anybody who listens to me. Anybody. I think it is a well-written out game. I think it's a beautiful story. I think the environment is great. I think the combat is epic. I think Alan Wake is probably one of the most unoriginal, or not unoriginal, but one of the most underrated games of all time.
For sure.
Alan Wake 2 finally coming alive and looking as good as it does with two playable characters, not only Alan Wake, but also an FBI agent. I cannot wait. Now, before we move on to the next game, there was an announcement about Alan Wake 2 that I wanted your thoughts on.
Because okay, what's up?
You're a person who believes in physical media.
Yeah, I love physical media.
Alan Wake 2 will only be digital.
And that's unfortunate.
But here's the kicker. It will only be digital, but the game is only going to be $60, not $70.
I mean, I would gladly pay an extra $10 to have the physical copy.
It'll be $60 on console, $50 on PC. But the reason I said that, by us going digital, it just saves us money.
Yeah, I don't like that because I want to own the game. And if I digitally download it, I technically do not own it.
Now, I'm still in the digital realm, but I'm still on the other side of things. And I recently looked up the price of Pokemon Crystal. And I was pleasantly surprised. Not pleasant.
Yeah.
I was, as a Gaming Bible article would say, I was breathtaken by the price.
Old, like I said in our text message, like old Pokemon games, if you like take good care of them, or if they're in good condition, or if they're sealed, are worth a lot of money.
Now, listeners, I'm not going to tell you how much Pokemon Crystal you could buy right now on resale. I just want you to Google that. If you can Google it, you can eBay it, you can Amazon it. But the price is, you can have a price in your head what you think Pokemon Crystal is going to be. You're going to be wrong. When it was Alan Wake 2, I was like, okay, this is not an exclusive. Assassin's Creed Mirage. Now, I have something I want to say on this.
What do you have to say?
I've played every Assassin's Creed ever. Well, that's not true. Every mainline Assassin's Creed game. Except for I'm working my way through Valhalla now. When I was watching the actual like gameplay footage, I have played this game so much until I know exactly that you had to cut out of the scene. That this is not a continuous scene. Because I know for a fact he saw you. I know they were trying to be stealthy, but because I played every single game, I knew exactly that they had to cut out of the scene because they were going to get caught. That's why this trailer had so many cuts to different scenes.
Because
the way they were playing, you can't play like this. I remember in Assassin's Creed Odyssey that I actually waited in the bushes for about 30 minutes. Waiting for the opportune moment. And you might be saying, oh, well, it's tiered, it's timed. You know when they're going to come around. That may be true. But there's tiers and there's times of other people, and then they respawn. Mm-hmm. So I had to time it out where I can assassinate one person, hop in the bushes, run over, assassinate the next person, throw him in the bushes, assassinate a third, throw him over the side, run back to my bush before the next guy came out with the five little people. So,
yeah, without being noticed.
Without being noticed. So when I watch this, I'm like, mm-mm, you're not. That's,
ain't no way. Ain't no way. In hell.
It looks, but you know what? I'm going to say it looks good, but I don't think it does.
So, like, here's my thought about Mirage as well. I like that it's set in, like, the Middle East and that it's going for that sort of aesthetic. It's a new type of environment, which is cool. But in terms of gameplay, it's not looking like it's offering anything new.
I feel like we're going back to, like, the Assassin's Creed 1, Assassin's Creed 2, which, again, great games to go from.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's nothing wrong with the gameplay or going back to it, but it's just like if they're trying to be innovative, they're not really doing it too much with this game.
No, I'm curious as to see where they're going to go. Well, obviously, they said they've announced like Code Red or Code Hex or whatever. We know they're going to be going places, but I feel like Assassin's Creed Mirage is going to exist in the same realm as Assassin's Creed Rogue. It's going to come and go with not a whole lot of fanfare like Assassin's Creed Origins did when it came out, or Assassin's Creed Black Flag when it came out. So moving on, and apparently Sony must be sticking with this cat deal.
Yeah, I was just going to say, first we have Stray, then we have Cat's Quest, and now we've got this new game called Revenant Hill, which is about this adorable-looking cat that is trying to become a witch's familiar. The game looks cute.
I appreciate the 2D scroller. I'm a sucker. Mm-hmm. You and I are both suckers for 2D scrollers, let's be honest here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those are my jam, honestly.
And this one looks like it could be interesting.
Oh, yeah. I'll check it out, but I'm not going to, like, go buck wild over it.
Now, the next game I refuse to go buck wild and I will not be checking out is Fantasy Relic. I think that this game looked terrible.
What, Grand Blue Fantasy?
I think this game looked terrible. I don't think it's appealing. The first word that came to my mind halfway through was the word generic.
Yeah. You took the words right out of my mouth because... As the next entry in the Grand Blue Fantasy series, Relink does not really do it for me. I love anime games very much. I love JRPGs very much. But with that being said, Grand Blue Fantasy doesn't seem that grand to me.
Agreed. Absolutely agree. But speaking of great game that looks grand,
Ooh.
Looking hype, I'm super excited. I've never been as excited for a Street Fighter game until 6.
Yeah, honestly, like, I'm very hype about this as well because they are, like, Capcom is kind of reinventing the wheel with Street Fighter 6, which is so, so cool.
I think they've taken the lessons. I think they've listened to the criticism. I think they've looked at the market of fighting games, and they've, in my opinion, built a game that might be a sales leader for the fighting.
And hey, who knew that adding more clothes to Cammy would make her more attractive?
Okay, moving on. I had to. That's her moving on. Hashtag canceled. All right, let's talk.
No, she's an attractive character. Nothing wrong about that.
Is. Now let's talk about the next game that was announced called Ultros. This is kind of fun and cartoony.
This is another kind of like almost like a side-scrolling platformer.
This one kind of reminds me of a bit of Castlevania mixed with Metroid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a Metroidvania-style game, for sure.
Would I play this? Probably not. I would be more likely to play the cat game than I am to play this one.
See, I would play this because I love Castlevania and I love those types of games.
See, it looks good. We'll see. The next one is Dragon's Dogma 2. And there's nothing to be said. This game looks epic. It's going to be epic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first one was great. The second one, no doubt, will be just as good, if not better.
I'm super excited to see what this is going to be when it comes out. I hope the reviews are better than the Golem reviews.
Yes, and I think with that, we're moving into the VR content now, for Sony, if I'm not mistaken.
I texted y'all this, and I said the biggest supporter of VR 2 is Capcom. Because why does it seem like every time there's a VR 2 announcement, it's Resident Evil?
Because, like, that's, like, their flagship.
Yes, but the first game that was announced was not Resident Evil, was another horror game.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
One.
I never got into this game. I didn't either.
We talked about this when we talked about the trailer. Mm-hmm. If I'm buying VR, and I know people are into the horror genre, I'm not buying VR for the horror genre. I'm buying it for Gran Turismo, Formula One.
Mm-hmm.
I'm buying it for like games like Halo. I'm not buying it for this.
Oh, so the bit of a side tangent as well. Very quick. I actually tried the Meta Quest 2 for the first time.
Really?
Very, very recently.
What are your thoughts?
I played Subnautica on it. My brother-in-law, you know, received the Meta Quest 2 as a Christmas gift. I think it was last year that he got it. And he allowed me to try it out. And I thought it was super fun and very responsive. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I didn't feel motion sick after playing it. I played it for about like 30 minutes. And overall, I mean, I was happy with it. I would definitely be interested in like investing into that for sure. So if you haven't tried like the Meta Quest 2 out, it's definitely worth checking out.
Speaking of which, they just announced Meta Quest 3. Yep,
sure. Did they
announce it today? But moving on from Five Nights at Freddy, next thing that was announced was the Resident Evil 4, which we knew this was coming. We knew it. There was no.
I mean, I think this is hype.
I think the next game is more hype.
Oh, the Arizona Sunshine?
Arizona Sunshine 2. When I first saw this game, at first I was just like, I don't know what this is. But then I just started smiling, and I was just like, all right, this seems
it looks
this
fun.
This is what I would play VR 2 for, because it's not taking itself seriously.
No, which was really refreshing to see.
I don't
want to
put on a virtual reality headset, and I'm in Resident Evil 4 Island. That doesn't sound fun to me. I want to put on a Resident Evil the headset and have a zombie game, because people do too many zombie games, and have a zombie game that's not taking itself seriously, and I think that's where we're getting Arizona. So the next one was Crossfire Sierra Squad. This game looks too intense for VR.
Yeah, I could see myself like getting motion sick from this.
Yeah, it looks exciting, but this is like a game I'd rather play on controller.
It's,
in my opinion, it's too quick. And this one is asking for motion sickness.
Mm-hmm. Same thing goes with like the next one with Synapse. It's another virtual reality game that's a shooter, but it's kind of like trippy.
It looked interesting. I guess this is one where I have to see a little bit more about it.
Yeah,
sure. It did look the concept. It looked like a concept, but I don't know if we saw in the trailer. The next one is called Beat Saber. And when I was watching this, you might judge me for this. I fully get the purpose. I fully get what they're trying to do. I fully understand your drums. But all I can think about is, if there was any slight bit of delay between the controller and the movements, this game will suck.
Have you ever played Beat Saber? It is a lot of fun.
It looked like a lot of fun.
Like, and the fact that it's coming to PlayStation VR 2 is really exciting for Beat Saber fans. I've personally played Beat Saber a couple times, and I've never experienced lag,
ever.
You know,
this would be a game if I had a VR 2, I probably would pick up Beat Saber, because I just love the thought of this.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Desiree's really into it.
I'll have to ask her about it. Desiree's a cool.
But yeah, reach out to her, and she can tell you more about it.
Good. The next game is called Marathon, and this is by Bungie. And before we talk about the game itself, I do want to say that the last, 20 seconds were just Sony basically showing off. We bought
Hey, look, Bungie.
Bungie, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's basically like the meme where it's just like, hey, look, it's Bungie.
Yeah, the game itself looked all right. Didn't look like Bungie made it.
Yeah.
Is this going to be a competitor to Halo? No.
No.
But it's there. Then we had Destiny 2, The Final Shape. I guess this is an expansion. I don't play Destiny, so I wasn't entirely sure what this was.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
It looked good. It's supposed to be bringing back Nathan Fillmore to do the voice work for this. So mm-hmm. if you're a big Destiny player, this is up right your alley, final expansion. Then we have Concord, which...
It was a pretty epic trailer.
It was an epic trailer, but again, I don't know what I'm looking like. This reminded me. You remember when at E3, when they announced the Black and White 2 trailer? And that was the last thing we ever heard of Black and White 2?
Yep.
That Concord reminded me of the second I saw it. I said, this game is going to come and go.
Yeah, and so, that's probably what's going to happen with Concord.
Yeah, so now we're getting into the accessories, and there were two accessories.
Yep, two.
Do you want to speak on the PS5 earbuds? Because one of
That was one of the things that I am actually more excited about is the earbuds. As long as they're at a good price point, I would consider picking them up for my PC. Because I don't own a PlayStation 5, but I'm sure they're compatible with like a PS4. At least I would hope they would be. But they look comfortable. They're sleek. They got a nice, like, to use a industry term, they have a sexy design to them. So overall, I would say that's like a 5 out of 5 in terms of like what you're offering. Mm-hmm. The carrying case that they get stored in also looks nice. I'm assuming it charges them as well. At least that's what it looks like to me. So overall, I think the earbuds is a slam dunk.
Yeah, I think that this is actually a great accessory for Sony to do because a lot of people enjoying their PS5, one of a sales leader right now, plus their PS4 as well. I think this is a great accessory to not only capture people who have PS5s, but also people who have PS4, people who are looking for new earbuds. I think that is a great accessory.
What 100%.
What I do not think is a great accessory is Project Q, which is Sony's controller with the tablet, with an 8-inch tablet. Now, this is going to be kind of like a streaming device. And when I say this device can only be played on Wi-Fi, and your PlayStation 5 has to also be connected to that same Wi-Fi. It is going to stream from your PS5.
To me, there seems to be no point.
I agreed, because you already have a bunch of already good handset systems out there. You have the Steam Deck, you have the Asus, you have the Nintendo Switch, and we're just going to talk about that. I believe Razer has a device.
Yep.
I don't exactly see what Sony's plan is. Maybe it's to combat Microsoft's.
Maybe. I don't know. Because to me, it seems like your PlayStation 5 has to be on.
Mm-hmm. So if you just want to like walk into the other room and play your game while you're on the toilet, I guess that's cool. But I was reading a comment and I actually laughed out loud when I read
it. What was the comment?
He says, "This is awesome. I can't wait to buy it on deep discount after it fails to sell."
Yep. I mean, I don't understand the market with this one, especially like you have to stream it from your PlayStation. Like if I'm going to play my PlayStation, like if I'm in my house, I'm going to play my PlayStation on my TV. Yep. I'm not going to play it on the handheld device. Like there's just no point.
See, I think that
unless I'm like in bed, maybe.
For me, the selling point of this is going to be is if it's priced at $299.
Yeah, like how much is this going to be? If it's $299, that's an automatic pass.
Yeah, and knowing Sony is $299, but also knowing Sony's those headbuds or earbuds are probably $199.
I was going to guess like $179.
Okay, so it's going to be in upwards of $100, and Sony is really expensive when it comes to accessories. And
They really are.
That's going to backfire. So then we ended up the showcase with the game everybody's been waiting for, and that is Marvel's Spider-Man 2.
This game looks amazing.
It does. I can't even say anything. Like, Spider-Man is a good get, and having Miles Morales, having Peter Parker, it looks, I enjoyed watching the trailer.
Yeah, I watched the whole gameplay trailer as well, and it was just phenomenal. It's so cool to see the symbiote suit and all of its like intricacies. The symbiote combat reminded me of this other game that came out a little bit ago. It's called The Darkness.
I remember it. Great game.
Yeah, the symbiote combat kind of reminded me of that. So that was kind of cool to see. And the voice acting of Peter was also really well done. And, you know, the voice actor for Miles was, you know, premium. Same with Kraven. I mean, the game looks great.
Yeah, this is probably one. I've never played any of the Spider-Man games since I had a PS5.
Highly recommend.
I've been told it's my biggest failure in life. Now, after the showcase, it was reasonable for a lot of people to assume that all of these games were going to be PlayStation 5 exclusive, because at the end of each trailer, it said coming to PS5, and as Mason, you said earlier, coming to PC.
Mm-hmm.
Because we live in a very petty world, Microsoft, the official Xbox account, said, what a good-looking group. And it says, coming to Xbox, it has Immortals of Avenue, or Avium,
mm-hmm.
Marathon, Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater,
which is crazy,
right? Dragon Dogma 2, Alan Wake 2, The Plucky Squire, Assassin's Creed Mirage,
let's go,
Cat Quest 2, and the
Tower. Let's go.
So
basically all the games that I want to play are going to be on Xbox. So I'm eating good, son. I'm eating good.
You really are. And that was the majority. That was half the showcase.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is going to set up, because I believe Microsoft is doing their showcase June 11th. I think that this is going to set Microsoft up in a very comfortable position, because they can say,
oh, yeah,
oh, we see what y'all did. Now here's what we're going to do.
Yep.
So overall, I'm actually going to say that this was a very good, I was going to give this a showcase an A until I saw Xbox's tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Giving it a B plus.
Yeah, I was going to say B plus is fair.
Yep.
The thing that held it back for me was the accessory portion.
Oh yeah, that's that. I didn't need that part. Now, before we hopped on the podcast, I asked you a question.
Yes.
The question was, and this will be our final question before we close out. The question: which Pokemon has appeared in every single game? And I will be willing to provide you a hint.
Okay.
Would you like the hint?
Yes, I would like the hint.
There are three of them that are in every single game.
Oh, three. Okay. I mean, the first one I'm going to guess is Pikachu.
Incorrect. Pikachu has not been in every Pokemon game. And the reason they said it was probably because I think they said Black and White.
Oh, okay. All right. My second guess is Rattata.
Nope.
Okay. Third guess, Pidgey.
Nope, but you're getting close to uselessness.
What do you mean?
This is a Pokemon that many people would consider useless if it was not for its evolution.
Nidoran?
Fish type.
Oh, Magikarp.
Magikarp is one. Magikarp is
pure. Okay.
In every single one.
That's awesome. Gyarados is OP.
Yep, Gyarados is OP.
Do not sleep on Gyarados.
Absolutely not. The next one is an evolution of a Pokemon. Well, in the original, it was just this Pokemon would have... A Aqua-type Pokemon would evolve into this one, but it's not Gyarados.
Is it, Tentacle?
No, think land and sea. Not a very...
land and sea.
The original, the first evolution is not a very smart Pokemon.
Psyduck?
Psyduck. There you
okay.
go.
Okay.
So Psyduck has appeared in every single one.
Okay, what, and then we'll go for the last one. A hint.
This one is a little bit harder because it's like, how am I supposed to
is it Geodude?
No. Think electric.
Oh, Voltorb?
No. Think smaller.
Magnemite. Really? Okay.
Yep. So the three Pokemon that have appeared in every Pokemon game has been Psyduck,
mm-hmm.
and Magikarp.
Ah, unexpected candidates.
See, that's why I said I don't think you're gonna go.
I'm a big Pokemon fan. I mean, I'm wearing my Pikachu shirt today.
All right, that's what we like to see. But before we go, before we close this out, Mason, do you have any final words, any reviews you would like to give us?
I'm trying to think of anything off the top of my head.
I will give you a quick, fast X review. If you enjoy the Fast and the Furious movie, you're probably going to enjoy this. But even as a Fast and Furious fan, you will say this movie is terrible. But the reality was, I knew it was a terrible movie as I was watching it. But it was still an action movie.
And yeah.
I did it. So I'm going to give this movie 2 uninformed gamers out of 5.
It just, ooh.
And it's only because after I was done watching it, I said, yeah, I enjoyed it, but it was bad.
Yeah.
But that has been our podcast. As you know, I am Devin, also known as Darkness Tiger. You can find me controlling the Twitter page at Uninformed Gamers. If you wish to connect to me on PS5, I am Darkness Tiger 2. And if you like what we do, be sure to give us a like, a subscribe, and share with your friends. We are on Spotify. We are on Apple Podcasts. Anywhere you may listen to podcasts, you can find us, Uninformed Gamers.
And I am Mason, also known as Rad Dreams from Rad Dreams Review on YouTube. And you can check me out there, or you can check me out at Rad_Dreams on Twitch. I am most likely planning on doing a stream on Monday for Memorial Day, because I'm off that day and I'm thinking about gaming. So stay tuned.
All right. Well, we will catch you all next time. Thanks for joining. Bye.
Later.